You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Roto Experts with your hosts, Mike Blewett and George Kurtz. Now, here's Mike and George.
Welcome to the Roto Experts. Mike and George taking you around the fantasy football world today. Some game action is always good to have. It's preseason, but we got game action. George, we're hurtling towards the season. I'm feeling it now. Today is August, what is it, 19th? Yeah. So we got 11 days left, and then the first game is September 10th. Is that right? Or September 7th? It is. So we're not far away at all. We're 2.5 weeks away from some real action now.
Yeah, I mean, hurtling is an interesting term there to say about the NFL season, but it's coming quickly. I mean, you know, week two of the preseason, we've done a couple of days, so we're halfway through the preseason, thankfully, because all I care about during preseason, and tonight's a big night. Please, nobody get hurt. Get up, please. No, don't be carted off, anything like that. Just stay healthy, especially if I drafted you the day before.
Yeah, the unfortunate Seahawks lost somebody for the entire season. It looks like last night a converted basketball player, Font is his last name. He had broken legs in an air cast, ACL, the whole thing. So I had in our rookie draft, George, that you and I participate in for our Dynasty League, I lost a guy for the year. He probably wasn't going to contribute much, but Derek Rivers, a third-round pick for the New England Patriots, who everybody said could be the steal of the draft, he's got a torn ACL, so he's out for the year. And those two players may not be fantasy relevant for 99% of you, but these types of things are happening. We've seen Kenny Dixon go down, Devontae Booker, other players that we had some fantasy value invested in have already gone down. Obviously, we know about Ryan Tannehill, and these things will continue to happen. We just hope that if you've drafted somebody, you avoid it, and if you're looking and targeting somebody, that they're able to stay healthy as well. So I will say that a little bit later this hour, we're going to talk to Ryan Talbot. He's a Bills beat writer, so we're going to talk about the Tyrod Taylor stuff and anything else that's relevant in Buffalo. Jordan Matthews, a newly acquired wide receiver, he's not on the field. Anquan Boldin, is he going to be the fantasy star that he has been throughout his career through lack of other options? Zay Jones, the rookie, what's his role? So a lot of good Bills questions that we'll ask Ryan Talbot here in about 20 minutes or so. So obviously a lot to talk about with the Bills, George.
Yeah, Buffalo's a little bit of a mess, right? They don't seem to be playing for the season. Like I said, I made the joke about our fucky cold with Matt Modica, who is a Bills fan. I mean, you trade away Watkins, you let Woods go in the offseason. All the other mess they've done here. Matthews, you bring along. He's got the chip sternum, so he may not be ready for week one, or he certainly won't have much work with Tyrod Taylor before week one. Maybe you should look at trading LeSean McCoy. Tyrod, you don't believe in Tyrod Taylor anyway, right? So maybe you should be looking to trade all these guys and really pulling, I don't want to say a tank, but if you're playing for next season and the years beyond, maybe you should get rid of the guys who really aren't going to help you for those seasons beyond this one anyway.
Yeah, look, when I see a story, Sean McDermott, Bills head coach, completely confident in Tyrod Taylor, the first thing I think is, no, he isn't. Why would he say that? There's no reason to say that. We're going to talk about the Bills a little bit later, but Martavis Bryant is the topic of discussion when we come back to see what that Steelers wide receiver can provide. We're back on the Roto Experts, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening. We're going to have Ryan Talbot, Bills beat writer, coming up in the next segment. He's a Bills writer for New York Upstate and Bills Updates, Pro Football Writers Association. So he's got a lot of insight as to what's gone on here in upstate New York in the last couple of weeks. It's been really, obviously, a ton of action, but this whole offseason has had a lot of action, and frankly, since even before the draft, since basically last January, there's been a lot of changes up there. But we'll get to that in the next segment. What I did want to talk about, George, is Martavis Bryant. And first I will say that a lot of people say Martavius. It isn't that. It is Martavis Bryant. I'm a stickler for names, and it is Martavis Bryant. So I'll start off the segment by being a stickler about that. But there was an article a couple of days ago, George, about Kevin Colbert, the Steelers GM, talking about Martavis Bryant and hoping he bucks the trend. And the trend is that of guys that have been suspended long term. And since 2010, only one of 11 players who served at least a year long substance abuse suspension, that's defensive tackle John Jolly, returned to NFL play. So there are many guys that have tried and failed on this front. He's a really young guy. We obviously have seen his talent. And I'm rooting for him. Look, I'm a Steelers fan, but I'd be rooting for him either way. And I'm just curious. It's been a difficult guy to project what he could do because we didn't even know if he's going to be on the field. Now it seems like he's getting more and more clearance. He's going to be on the field week one. So how do you have him ranked, and what are your expectations for him?
I mean, I'm a big fan of Martavius Bryant. I think he's going to be...
Thanks.
I'm sorry. It was just too easy.
Yeah, I know.
Easy sometimes I got to grab the low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, it's easy.
All right, so... I'm a big fan of Martavis Bryant. I wanted him. In my home league that I drafted Thursday night, I was disappointed that someone took him, I believe it, I want to say round four.
That's early.
So he went before I could take him. And that's a super flex league, so keep in mind, quarterback flying off the board there. Yes, he went the end of round four, so and I was disappointed that I couldn't grab him. But hey, that's life. Nothing I could do about it there.
So
I think he's
going to
be a nice addition. 12 with the keepers, it's hard to tell. It's keeper league, so those guys those keepers would get drafted ahead of him. But either way, he went early. I think guys are reaching up to grabbing him now. I know in our Rotoracks mock, which is the last mock we did was a straight your straight PPR mock. Nothing, no two quarterbacks. I think I took him around five.
I was going to say he's probably about a fifth round pick right now.
Yeah, I wanted him. I think he's a guy who could win you a fantasy league. You know, that sort of guy, they were good, round four, round five guy. Maybe he can't win you a league, but I think a big season could be coming. Because let's face it, defense sort of have to pick their poison. Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown. And, you know, Martavis Bryant sort of, you know, he goes up to the woodwork where you can't cover all these guys. He's going to see a lot of one-on-one coverage, and a lot of big plays are coming your way here. I think, you know, forget, don't worry about Ben yelling, you know, complaining about him. That's all fine and good. Once it comes down to winning games, Ben's going to get in the football when he's open. One-on-one coverage, he should be open early and often. I like Bryant a whole lot.
Yeah, I mean, he's played 21 games in his career. It's split between 2014 and 2015. 76 catches. 141 targets, 1,314 yards. He's got a 17-yard per catch average, pretty good, and 14 touchdowns, which is really the big glaring number. He's obviously a huge target at 6'4". The Steelers heavily targeted him in the red zone. With him there, the Steelers would be amongst the – I mean, they might be the best fantasy football offense in football if all four of those guys are healthy, right, George?
At home they are.
Yeah.
Just don't take him on the road.
Yeah.
Right? That's the problem.
Well, maybe he can fix that.
They become much more I think the problem is that's the way the offense is, the way they play. I don't think it's Ben. I think it's the fact that they don't throw the ball as much on the road. They play much more conservative for whatever reason that is. You know, so I think Ben's obviously a part of the problem there, but they play much more conservative on the road. At home, they more open it up a little bit. So maybe that's more on Haley than it is on Ben.
Yeah, it could be. But, yeah, amongst the best fantasy football offenses out there, he's currently ranked 31, according to Fantasy Pros ADP. In some of those high-stakes leagues, I guarantee he's going higher than that. And, frankly, George just illustrated how he is going higher than that in drafts now. So if you think you're going to get him as the 31st wide receiver off the board, you're fooling yourself. He is going to go wide receiver two range, probably late wide receiver two range to mid wide receiver two range now. And I think his on-field production in the past is evidence as to why he would do that. He could be a touchdown machine in a team that can score a lot of touchdowns if everybody's healthy. It's odd that I'm saying this, right, George, because the running back's not even in camp, and this guy's been suspended for a year. But I think the historic production of this offense lends everybody to feel confident in it, regardless of what we're looking at right now.
It's also, I think, most of us feel that, listen, is it really a bad thing that he's not in camp, not taking any extra hits? As long as he's in shape, which we all expect him to be, and I'd like to get him there 2 weeks early to make sure the hamstrings and the groin really gets in shape, because it seems like some of these guys that hold out once they come back, they, you know, oh, sore groin, oh, sore hamstring.
Yeah. Or it happened to Darrell Revis a couple of years ago.
Right. So that, as long as that gets taken care of, I don't really care fantasy-wise.
Well, that's
that
why
he's missing this part of camp.
But that's why I have him as number two now, because I'm just a little worried about that.
And I can't blame you for that. I really can't. I still have him number one. I'm not dropping him yet. But if you tell me he's not going to show up to what is season starts September 10th, so that he's not showing up till September 4th, then I'd have him behind Johnson. But right now, I want to believe he's showing up. Oh, what's today? The 19th. You hope. I like to see him in there on the 28th.
He'll be there next week. He'll be there after that third preseason game. He'll probably walk in the day after the third preseason game and say, I'm ready to go. He's not going to carry the ball anyway. They didn't let him carry the ball last year in the preseason, so he's not going to do it. You know, he was coming off an injury,
obviously.
You don't want
him carrying. As a Steelers fan or a Bell fan, you don't want him carrying the ball
right
now,
what do I need
man.
To see?
There's no need to take those extra hits.
Right? Like, what do I need to see from him? He touched the ball 350 times. He's the best running back in football. I got it. Like, I don't need his four preseason carries like Dalvin Cook is getting to prove how good or he is or isn't. We get it. You just got to hope. The only thing you got to hope for is Le'Veon Bell is that he doesn't get hurt. The usage rate is off the charts most weeks. He catches the ball like a wide receiver. I know he wants to be paid like some sort of weird combo running back wide receiver, which isn't going to happen. But he legitimately can play wide out in the league. So, anyway, Martavis Bryant, just cautioning people, if you're looking at rankings right now, they would have to be adjusted in real time for it to reflect where his actual value is. George, I think you painted it right. It's about a fifth-round pick right now, going as a wide receiver, too. Could go in that fourth round, too, because, as you said, he's the type of guy that you take a flyer on, he can win you a fantasy league. And I don't mean a flyer in that it's a throwaway pick. I mean, what if I bump up his value because I have a lot of confidence in him? That's okay to do. If you're confident, guys, and you're a little bit of a gambler, you and I are a little bit more by the book. We're a little bit safer as drafts go and try to piece it together throughout the year. I don't need to try to go 15-0. Do you know what I mean? I'm trying to get to the playoffs and
I don't
want to
go 13-0.
Yeah.
That's a kiss of death.
Yeah.
You know you lose in week one when that happens.
Yeah, exactly. So and week one of the playoffs, you mean. So any event.
Week 14.
In any event, that I just wanted to have that Martavis Bryant discussion because I think that people, as they look at rankings, could get a little confused. You know, tangentially to this, it's a different team altogether, but it was a guy that I've been thinking about a lot lately because, I'll be honest, he's one of these players that I'm a fan of. And he has been bypassed by his counterparts at wide receiver in Green Bay. And that player is Randall Cobb. Jordy Nelson, we all know, is a wide receiver one. Davante Adams, our own very own Jake Seeley, says he's could be a key guy for you to win a championship this year. But I just wanted to spend a minute on Randall Cobb. And I'm a little perplexed that he's falling so far in drafts. He's ranked 43rd, according to Fantasy Pros and PPR leagues. That makes him a mid-range wide receiver four. But I've seen him go really late in drafts. Like, we're talking ninth round, where he's obviously going to deliver a lot more value than guys being drafted in front of him.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I guess where I'm going with this, I agree. Listen, every league is different. People have their own opinions on players about, guys they're going to reach up for, guys they don't want to touch for whatever reason. And I do, too. And I'm sure you do, too, Mike. You know, there are guys who you mentioned Martavis Bryant. I just checked that draft where I took him for the Rexers. I think it was round four. So I did move up for him because I did want him because I thought he was going to be big, be a big boon to my team this season. I think players are. I think Ben will find him. I think we also need to remember, when you go by ADPs, these ADPs could be taken from 2 months ago where he wasn't even cleared to play yet. So maybe that's why he dropped now. And now we know he's going to play, so people are going to grab him earlier. Or his name comes back into surface now. People realize, oh, it's Martavis Bryant, right, football season's here. He's really good. So I think that changes ADPs as well.
Yeah. So Randall Cobb, I mean, 60 catches, 610 yards, 4 touchdowns last year. But he missed a month. He missed just a lot of time. I'm just really curious why he's going so late in drafts. We can talk a little bit about him later in the show. We got Ryan Talbot coming up next. We're going to talk about the Bills. Lots to talk about there, obviously. It's Mike and George on the Roto Experts on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We're back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's Mike Blute and George Kurtz. Hit us up on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. I'm going to bring in Ryan Talbot in just a moment. But I would tell everybody to go to rotoexperts.com and take a look at the exclusive Edge Draft Package. Purchase that and be ready for all of your fantasy football drafts upcoming. We have great information, rankings, projections, lots of different articles, including some related to the Buffalo Bills, as we bring Ryan Talbot in. And Ryan, I was saying to George just a couple of minutes ago, it's been quite an interesting offseason, hasn't it?
It really has, especially as of last week with those two blockbuster trades.
Yeah, so obviously, you know, there's the coaching change happens, and then the front office regime change happens. And now we have ourselves in a situation where I think is pretty curious. The Bills played a couple of nights ago, and then Sean McDermott is almost, he feels obligated to come out and talk about how he's completely confident in Tyrod Taylor when he jettisoned the top two receivers from last year, including one right in the middle of camp. So, first of all, give me your thoughts on Tyrod Taylor for this season. Do you think he feels comfortable with the situation he's in now with, obviously, three new wide receivers?
You know, I don't know if he feels comfortable, but I think he will adapt to the situation. He is one of those team guys. He's coming off of an ugly game, though, against the Eagles. There's no other way to say it. His performance was brutal, but you can't place all the blame on Taylor. If you watch that first team offense, Cordy Glenn was out, so they had Centrell Henderson in at left tackle, who's struggled all of camp. They've been kind of rotating John Miller and Vlad Dacos at right guard, and Dacos was thrown into Tyrod Taylor in one of the plays. So not trying to make excuses for Taylor's performance in that game, but I think that was kind of an anomaly. He doesn't throw that many interceptions. I think he just needs that adjustment period. Very unfortunate that Jordan Matthews hasn't been able to get on the field other than that one practice where he suffered a sternum injury, but I think if you give Taylor some time, he's going to be okay this year.
Ryan, you mentioned the big trades from last Friday. Jordan Matthews is one of those trades and suffers the chipped sternum, I believe it is. When do you think we'll see him back, and how effective do you think he'll be if he has to miss another 7-10 days? Will he have much chemistry there with Tyrod Taylor?
You know, that's a great question, and that's what it comes down to, is they need to have some time to work on their chemistry on the field. He can learn the entire playbook, but it's one thing to know all the plays, and it's another thing to actually have some chemistry throwing with Tyrod Taylor. The one thing working in his favor is a few years ago, they actually spent some time together during the summer where Tyrod was throwing to him. He met with McCoy, things like that, when he was still with the Eagles. So he has some experience with Tyrod Taylor, not much, but he does need to get on that field. It would be nice to see if he could play in the next preseason game. Might be a little bit of a long shot, but he should be good to go by week one. But like you said, it all comes down to chemistry.
And we're joined by Ryan Talbot. You can follow Ryan on Twitter at Ryan Talbot Bills. That's RyanTalbot Bills. He's Bills writer for New York Upstate and Bills Update. So he's a great guy, great follow on Twitter, and you get a lot of Bills news that way, whether or not you're a fan of the Bills or an owner of some of their players on your fantasy team. So, look, the one rock of this offense, Ryan, is LeSean McCoy. The guy touched the ball nearly 300 times last year, and that's after missing time. Do we think that this is going to be the LeSean McCoy show again? Do they look to, as he is aging a little bit, do they look to take some of that workload off and hand it over to Jonathan Williams or anybody else?
You know, I still think it'll be the LeSean McCoy show. He was great in training camp. I mean, again, you just watch him and you're in awe of some of the plays that he makes, whether you see the video clips online or whether you're there in person. He still has, regardless of that, his age, being 29 years old. So I think he's still the workhorse for the team this year. I think 300 carries is a possibility. But I also think he gets more involved in the passing game. I know he had 50 receptions last year, but I could actually see that total increasing. Rick Dennison likes to get the ball out to his backs. And if you get the ball to LeSean McCoy out in space, he can be very dangerous. As for the second running back that you mentioned, Jonathan Williams, he's another guy that's having a great camp. So he's kind of helped the Bills in terms of their decision to let Mike Gillisley leave as a restricted free agent. He's looked the part. He's shown good burst, good explosiveness. Isn't dealing with a foot injury like he was last year as a rookie. So he looks like he will definitely be the number two back, though, behind McCoy.
You know, Ryan, I'm going to stick with the wide receivers. Talk about Zay Jones, the rookie wide receiver. I know Dynasty Leagues, he was heavily sought after. How has he looked in camp? Can he be a legitimate threat on the outside?
Yeah, Zay Jones has looked very good at camp. Maybe the most consistent wide receiver that they've had throughout training camp in terms of his performance. As for playing on the outside, it's going to be interesting. He's done it, but most of his production came from the slot, and that's where a lot of people thought that he would play with the Bills. But after adding Anquan Boldin and even Jordan Matthews, all three guys were kind of known as slot guys. I think you're going to see Zay Jones and Matthews on the outside, and you're going to see Boldin on the inside. But I think Zay Jones can do it. Like I said, he's having a great training camp. Had a nice game against the Eagles, especially there right before halftime, where he and Nathan Peterman had a few connections, especially one along the sidelines. That was a great play on, great throw and great catch.
Again, you can find Ryan on Twitter at Ryan Talbot Bills, and you find some of his content on nyup.com. So to stick with the, I'm going to stick with the wide receivers as well, because you mentioned Rick Dennison earlier. And one thing that I've been curious about is when he was in Denver a couple of years back, he ran a lot of three wide sets. So as you set it up with those two guys being on the outside and Boldin in the middle, which I like for him to rack up a ton of catches, do you think they are going to go three wide a lot? Because it's curious, when you have LeSean McCoy there, you want to go a little bit more of a heavier set to provide some blocking. How do you see that playing out? I know it might be difficult to predict. I'm just curious what your thoughts are.
Yeah, very difficult to predict, but I think you're going to see less three wide receiver sets than you've seen in the past with Rick Dennison. And the main reason for that is they signed Patrick DeMarco in the offseason. Mm-hmm. And you don't add the best, or arguably the best, fullback in the league if you're not going to utilize him in this offense. So I think you're going to see those numbers of the three wide receiver sets go down a little bit this year. Obviously, if you're in more obvious passing downs, you'll run those. But I think it's going to be more of a mix. I think it's going to be more of a balanced offense, because, again, DeMarco was such a big signing for the Bills in free agency that I can't see them just sitting him on the bench while they run three wide receiver sets.
You know, Ryan, at the end of last season, Charles Clay seemed to be catching a touchdown every other game. I know he's a little banged up now. How is he looking? Or is maybe the signing of Anquan Boldin give Tyrod Taylor another big presence in the red zone to look at?
You know, Boldin is going to be a big red zone presence. I think he was second in the league last year in terms of red zone touchdowns. So he's going to be a big asset there. But I think Clay is going to be a big part of this offense, too. Tight ends seem to be a big part, again, of the Rick Dennison offense. Clay, like you said, towards the end of the year, he was actually building some chemistry with Tyrod Taylor. I want to say that in weeks 15 and 16, he had something like 15 receptions and three touchdowns. So they were building up something there towards the end of the year. He's been involved in camp. You saw Taylor try to throw a little bit more over the middle in the preseason so far. And there were, between Clay, Nick O'Leary, and Logan Thomas, Bills tight ends were targeted, I think, 14 times against the Eagles. So getting those tight ends, their targets across the middle, seems to be a big part of this offense as well. So I think Clay, being the number one tight end, could see his best season with the Bills as long as he can stay healthy.
Okay, so that gives us a good base of what these guys can do this season from a fantasy perspective. And I'm going to ask you the difficult stuff, Ryan, because there's been so much going on here. They jettisoned Sammy Watkins, which appears to be perhaps a decision that was made a while back by not picking up his fifth-year option. The problem is that decision was made by people that aren't in the building anymore, whether it was Rex or Doug Whaley or whomever. So you got Brandon Bean now at GM and Sean McDermott as head coach. They get rid of their biggest playmaker, and there's some confidence issues, it seems, in the quarterback. So are they punting in an effort to stack all these draft picks and draft a quarterback next year?
You know, I don't think they're punting away the season. And one thing that Bean said recently is, why would I go out and pursue Anquan Boldin if we're going to punt away the season? Which is a valid point. Yeah. It's not that Bolden's in his prime anymore or anything like that. But you don't go out and pursue a guy that you think can upgrade your team if you're going to throw away the year. I don't think anyone will argue that the Bills downgraded in these two trades. I think that obviously E.J. Gaines, at the cornerback that they acquired, is coming off of a very poor season with the Rams, but he also, that was his first year back after suffering a foot injury. And Jordan Matthews is a different type of wide receiver than Sammy Watkins. He's actually been a little more productive because he's been on the field, but he's not that explosive playmaker like you mentioned. So I don't think they're punting the season away, so to speak. I think that they can actually compete a little bit in the AFC. Obviously, the Patriots and the Raiders seem like the top dogs, but there's also a lot of teams in the middle of the pack that who knows who's really going to step up there in terms of the wild card race. They may be able to make some noise in the AFC East just because of the injuries we've seen happen to the Dolphins and the fact that the Jets are punting away the 2017 season. But long-term, yeah, those trades were in mind for the 2018 draft. Even if the Bills find themselves in the middle of the pack or if they are a surprise team, they still have six picks in the first three rounds, two in each of the first three rounds. So that's very valuable ammunition to move up and get your quarterback if you're saying, okay, Tyrod Taylor's gone and Nathan Peterman's not our guy. Or it's just a great way for Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott to build the team as they see fit. I could see almost a brand new linebacker core coming in next year. You have Lorenzo Alexander, who's getting up there in age, Preston Brown, who's in the final year of his deal, and Ramon Humber getting his first, you know, real true opportunity to start in this in a defense. So that's a whole thing that they could revamp. So those picks are really to help the Bills going forward.
That's good stuff. Thanks. Thank you to Ryan Talbot. Follow him at Ryan Talbot Bills. Good stuff there on the Bills. He gave you the outlook. So maybe they're not punting. Thank you, Ryan. We'll have you back again soon. Enjoy the 2017 season. It's Mike and George. We'll be back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Mike Blute and George Kurtz just got off the phone or just had a segment with Ryan Talbot from the Buffalo Bills. Good info there, George. He provided a lot of depth there, especially at the end of the segment, about how he perceives this 2017 season to be unfolding.
Yeah, actually, he did give a lot of good fantasy information there about really covering the entire offense team, McCoy, Taylor, Jordan, Matthews, Clay. So I thought it was very good for me, very great there. But you know, coming in here, we got the slow jam segment here, Mike. I don't smoke, but I feel like being in a lounge with a cigar right about now.
I don't either. I don't either, but it's not bad. It's kind of relaxing as we come off the hype of the Bills interview. We get to ease into it with that kind of 1970s cop show theme song kind of thing we have going. But anyway, kudos to our producer, Pete Considori, for providing those tunes. But in any event, George, I look, it's not a fun question to have to answer, and I'm sure he's answered it 100 times, but are the Bills punting the 2017 season? I had to ask that because from the outside looking in, it seems like they're stockpiling for next year. What's odd is that they have so much talent on this defense, and there's talk about guys not fitting in the scheme properly and get trading their second-round pick, Reggie Ragland, from last year, who didn't even play because he had a torn ACL, so... Anyway, there's a lot to cover there, but at the heart of it, he just feels like Taylor had a rough night the other night, and this doesn't necessarily mean his job is in jeopardy.
Well, they're not the Jets, you know, a team that's obviously looking forward towards next season. But I think next season, we all know, is a stronger quarterback season. So maybe the Buffalo Bills aren't fretting if they lose a couple of extra games. You know, they're not going to win two, three games. They'll probably win somewhere around 5-6, so that could get you a top 10 pick, could put you right in the running there for one of those quarterbacks next season. They obviously, for whatever reasons, do not believe in Tyrod Taylor. You know, they didn't believe in him at the last season. They had the contract squabble about the guarantee and the, you know, did he have permission to have surgery? Did he not? This all garbage there. So it's obvious they want to move on, which makes you wonder. I said, should they be talking to teams? Should they be talking to Jacksonville about moving Tyrod Taylor? You know, maybe you can't get a first-round pick or something like that, but hey, Jacksonville obviously needs a quarterback. Buffalo doesn't like Taylor. They don't seem to mind losing this year. Maybe that's a match made in heaven.
That's an unbelievable thought, George. That's an unbelievable thought. And, you know, every once in a while, you strike gold. That's a really interesting thought. I don't know that Marone, you know, people might be listening and say, wow, why would Doug Marone want to do that? It's not his style. You might be right, but, you know, we didn't see Sam Bradford being the Minnesota Vikings quarterback a year ago today. So, you know, it could be somebody that works out for them. But in any event, before we get into doing crazy trade machine type of stuff, I just want to set the tone for what actually he did the other night, which I probably should have done earlier. But he was in for his first pass of the night, was thrown into the hands of a blitzing defensive back, popped up in the air and intercepted. And then he threw another interception to his ex-teammate Ronald Darby, who was his teammate like 10 days ago. No, 8 days ago. In 6 drives with Taylor at the helm, the Bills earned 6 first downs, 1 via penalty, and managed 3 points. He was 8 of 18 for 53 yards, 2.9 yards per attempt, and 2 picks. His passer rating, guess what his passer rating was, George? 153 being perfect, 0 being imperfect.
It's not good.
12. It was the 12 passer rating. So clear. But then McDermott is being asked about Taylor, and he's really vague. I thought Tyrod moved the ball last week and we had some penalties. Thursday night, I don't think we moved the ball and couldn't get into a rhythm offensively early in the game. So you look at the big picture and you evaluate. This is all Sean McDermott. So we've got a lot of work to do as an overall football team. We've got to do that to continue to get better, work on our fundamentals, and work on our techniques and get into a rhythm. That's what we need to do. We're always going to evaluate everything, and that goes for every position, including the quarterback position. We're going to evaluate the film, evaluate the job I did, and then we evaluate the job that each of us can continue to get better as a unit. That is the worst non-answer I've ever heard.
I'm not really worried about what coaches say. He had a terrible game. Anyway, you look at Taylor had a terrible game. There's no denying that. How he's looked at in practice probably will determine more about whether or not he starts. We know they've had issues there, but that was with the former regime, right? Not this regime. So you would think he starts off with a fresh slate, but is he their type of quarterback? Not a drop back. He's a guy who's going to move around here. I know you could say that McDermott, well, he had Cam Newton. Well, Cam Newton's a different kind. Cam Newton's built like a brick wall. Tyrod Taylor's not. So different types of quarterbacks there. Can he get the ball downfield? I think it's just very tough to judge Taylor right now. It's a brand new wide receiver core. No Watkins, no Woods. You know what I mean? You're starting with Zay Jones, who you just drafted in April. Anquan Boldin, you signed 2 weeks ago. Marshall, you just got last week. Matthews, you just got last week, and he's already out with the chip sternum. How can you fairly, how can you judge this guy right now?
Look, even our own Jake Seeley is a senior writer for RotoExperts.com. He's had, I think it's 3 guys that he's really focused on this year that he feels can win you fantasy championships. He has Davante Adams at wide receiver for the Packers, Eric Ebron at tight end for the Lions, and Tyrod Taylor. And I think even Jake, with all the confidence that he had in that pick, would have to back off of that somewhat right now. As you said, there's 3 new wide receivers. I think they're going to go with the LeSean McCoy show, like Ryan Talbot just told us, even if Jonathan Williams spells him at times.
They have to.
I usually try to get an offensive line question in, but there's only so much time in a segment. I felt like some of the other questions were more important. But he did intimate that they're having some offensive line issues at the moment due to injuries. Cordy Glenn wasn't in, so he will return at some point this preseason. So, that could get all worked out. And obviously, LeSean McCoy was productive last year. But, yeah, I still find it to be all of the things that happen. Look, George, we've got a lot of experience looking at this, and it's always going to be a little bit of a guessing game. When you try to map out and you put everything on the table that they've just done, everything points to them playing for legitimate historically high draft picks in 2018, whether that's a quarterback or somebody else.
Bill Belichick is really laughing himself to death right now. I mean, how bad is this division? I mean, the Bills are look like they're going to be a bad team, and they're nowhere near close to the worst team in the division.
No way.
Jets and Miami's a mess too. I mean, would it shock anybody if the Patriots win more games than the rest of the division combined?
14. God, if you think the Miami and Buffalo, I mean, the Jets are going to win two. I'll give the Jets two. Maybe. I don't know where they're coming from. I've just got to give them two. I can't pick below two. I can't. Everybody's saying they're going to go 0-16. Right. I can't pick ever when I do predictions in the NFL. I can't ever go above 14 wins or below two. It's stuff happens.
Where's Elias Sports Bureau, man? I want to know a team in the NFL in a 16-game season has ever won, a division win has ever won more games than the rest of the division combined, because I think it could happen this year.
So give the Jets two, the Dolphins seven.
I'll give the Dolphins six.
That's
eight. You want to give them seven? I can go seven.
Then the Bills five.
Can't get five. If Patriots can win 14 or 15, I mean, it wouldn't shock me in the least.
Jeez. That's another good call. George, you're on fire this hour. I think you might be right. I think I would take the Pats. And the Dolphins weren't a mess. Did you think the Dolphins... Well, you know what's funny? The Tannehill thing is at the tip of the spear of all of this, but the Dolphins didn't seem to be that much of a mess to me a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, we had questions at Jay Ajayi and the concussion, and is he going to repeat his 2016 performance? I get that, but I had full confidence in Devontae Parker and Jarvis Landry and that Kenny Stills. That is a really solid receiving core. But now Tannehill's out. They got people dropping like flies. Offensive linemen are hurt, and the rookies are out for the season. It's pretty crazy. They made the playoffs last year. They weren't a disaster last year.
No, the problem is that you're going over it. The injuries. They're being crushed with injuries. I can't see Ajayi making it through the season. You already lost Tannehill. I think Cutler will be okay, but you still have issues there. Right, I mean, the third linebacker position is a mess right now. We're down to third string. Koumissi's out, and then the rookie Raekwon McMillan's out. They have issues in the secondary, although the cornerbacks look good. And Byron Maxwell, who believes he's the best cornerback in the NFL, you can believe it if you like, Byron. You're not.
Yeah.
Xavier Howard's picking it up. The defense is actually the best part of this team, but it's not locked down. It's good, but it's not locked down. But that offense could be inconsistent at best.
To close it up on the Bills, I've heard people made this comparison. I think it's apt. It's almost like how some teams are kind of preparing for when LeBron in the NBA, when LeBron James finally hits the end of the road in 2 or 3 years, they're kind of setting things up to be good then. It's almost like maybe the Bills are setting up to be good when Tom Brady finally turns 43 and he retires and there's somebody else at quarterback in New England. So they're rebuilding for that. Anyway, I'll let George, you can touch on that after the break. But we're going to close it out on the Roto Experts. It's Mike and George on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We're back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Mike and George closing out the hour. Thanks for listening. Hopefully you're following us on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. Ryan Talbot providing a lot of good information on the Bills earlier. You can hit him up at Ryan Talbot Bills on Twitter. So, George, we obviously have some games tonight. A lot of action tonight. My Steelers going up against the Falcons. Not sure who's going to play and how many snaps they're going to play. Steelers offensive players, with the exception of Martavis Bryant, whom we talked about earlier in this hour, these guys are veterans. They're going to be in and out pretty quickly.
Yeah, it's week two. Week three is really the more of a dress rehearsal, but at least some of the stars will play this week that didn't play last week. You'll get a little bit more of a glimpse of them. But like I said, Mike, I'll say it over and over again. I'm a Cowboy fan. My fantasy players, I don't care if they play. Just don't get hurt. Don't want to see these guys go down. And you know, Mike, we almost made it through a whole show without mentioning Ezekiel Elliott.
Well, you did. You blew it right there, buddy. We went almost 2 hours.
I know.
Look, the appeals.
Purposely, I did it.
The appeals are going on. We're gonna have to wait to see how it shakes out. I think the more I think about it, George, the more I think it stays at six games. I think a week ago, you and I were talking about it possibly with a reduction. I don't really see that happening now. I'm not suggesting that they can't go to court and get the entire thing wiped out. I just don't think the NFL is going to budge. I don't think there's going to be any kind of arbitration or settlement at four games. This is my opinion at this point. So we'll obviously have to continue to track that. Looking at other games tonight, George, Cam Newton not playing again. They're obviously taking it slow with him, not dissimilar how the Colts are taking it with Andrew Luck, who obviously isn't going to play tonight against the Cowboys. But are you getting increasingly concerned? By the way, that game's at 3 Eastern, so you get a little afternoon football with Panthers-Titans. Are you getting increasingly concerned with Cam Newton?
I was concerned anyway. Uh-huh. He's not a quarterback I want. I'm not a big Cam Newton guy, especially now since I believe he's not going to run the ball as much. I know he says, oh, I got to run. You know, no, you don't. The coach says no. You got to keep your quarterback healthy. I think it's kind of silly to have him run a guy who's got concussion issues. If he does, he won't play 16 games either. So, no, he's not a quarterback I want with my fantasy team. I need to see more consistency out of him. I don't think it's all his fault. I think the receivers have been problems over the past couple of seasons. This guy, Curtis Samuel, I think is someone you want to watch later on in fantasy draft. He's looking for a dartboard throw. I think he is someone you want to go after. I think Kelvin Benjamin will be a legitimate red zone threat there. Devin Funchess, not so much.
Yeah, I've seen a little bit of a buzz about Devin Funchess. I'm trying to figure that out. You and I were on the Devin Funchess bandwagon last year and got burned. And it wasn't like I went all in on Devin Funchess. I just thought that there was an opportunity for a guy to really make a leap in the offense, and he didn't do it at all. Like, there was just nothing there from him. But the Curtis Samuel thing is interesting. Another rookie. The Panthers obviously drafted two very dynamic playmaking players into their offense. Christian McCaffrey, who's going to start most of the season at running back, and if he doesn't get the actual first snap of the game, I wouldn't worry about it. He'll get a much bigger snap count than will Jonathan Stewart over the course of the season. And by the way, they might both be on the field because McCaffrey can line up as a wideout. And like every time I see a piece of video from McCaffrey, whether it's from camp or in these preseason games, it's electrifying. I'm just telling you, people are going to be really excited about this guy. And Curtis Samuel, I think it is a good dartboard throw in those deeper leagues, George, as you said, because he's a playmaker. And you may not see the wealth of touches that you will see with other players, but in your keeper leagues and that type of stuff, I think Curtis Samuel is like a touchdown maker.
Yeah, I think he could be a highlight reel machine here. I think he's looking really good in camp. If Cam can get him the ball, especially in stride, I think he's going to be incredibly dangerous.
I'm so excited. If that Panthers offense works out and everything goes in line, it's going to be an exciting one to watch. It's not going to be just a Cam Newton show anymore. Thanks for listening, folks. Closing out the Roto Experts
good for that.
On the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.